People did not have anything. You know, and you know, the poor that did have anything, they had spent that on buying school supplies. Because this was the second week of school. So they didn't have anything. The only thing people was waiting on was the first. So what they was doing, they was taking this and using it as bartering. You know, they know that if I had a plasma TV and I could get the hell out of New Orleans, wherever I'm going, maybe I could trade this TV in or sell it and get some money that I could try to take care of my family. Because again, nobody was providing nothing. And it just went on that way. I mean, the water was drinkable in Algiers. But they wouldn't tell people that the water was drinkable. Or firemen. Because we went to the fire station because a lady had passed out after walking across the bridge. We tried to get the paramedics to come out to help her. The paramedics was told not to leave the fire station. So we was telling one of the guys that was with me was a medic in Vietnam, and he knew the symptom of heat exhaustion. So he told, he said, well, hey, give us some of the water that you had, because they had bottled water stacked up, looked like from the floor to the ceiling in the fire station. And they wouldn't give us a bottle of water. Then as we was leaving, one of the guys recognized me because my neighbor is a fireman. And he told me, he said, well, listen, bro, he said, this is just off the record. But that's all you have to do is just let your water run a couple of minutes, because the water in Algiers is the only safe water in this part of Louisiana. So you could tell them that they can use this water. And I told him, I said, well, why are you telling this to me, man, when you should be telling that to everybody? He said, we was ordered not to tell them, because if we told people that the water was drinkable in Algiers, they wouldn't leave the city. Mm-hmm. And the city administration wanted everybody out of the city. So I said, you mean to say you would let people die before you would tell them that this water is drinkable? And that's all he done. He said, man, I just got to follow orders.
Right, right.
And I just told him, I said, well, brother, I'm glad they didn't order you to kill me. Because I see right now, I'll be dead. Right there. And I just left.
Yeah, right.
And but the thing that that really struck me more than anything, every fireman had a gun. It wasn't a fireman that I saw that didn't have a sidearm and either a shotgun or an M16. You know, that's when I started equating what we was going through with what the Jews went through in World War II, or prior to World War II, during the earliest days of it, when the ship, the St. Louis, had Jews fleeing from Nazi Germany and came to New York, but they wasn't allowed to get off of that ship. And to others that ship went to Cuba, and it was the same thing. They wasn't allowed to get off. And many of them were sent back to Germany to their death. You know, and that's what I was equating with what was going on with us. Then there was so many young brothers getting killed that some of the brothers said, well, hey, man, if they're going to kill us like this, you know, then any white that we see coming through our community, we're going to kill them. And I told them, I said, man, listen, don't do nothing like this, because that's what they're looking for. You know, that's the excuse for them to come in and just kill us all. Mm-hmm. You know, because they have already demonized us. Mm-hmm. But the police was passing by my house, because they was told that I was ahead of all these young black thugs, and I had them looting, and I was selling the supplies They were stealing out of the side of my house. But when they came by my house to raid it that night, and this was that Saturday night, that's all they saw was basically young whites. And they thought they was given the wrong address. So that next morning, and that also is in the DVD, where they came and to find out what was really going on at my house.
Okay. Brother Malik, if we visit the DVD now, can you show me the areas that you want me to show Sienna? Okay. I'm going to call for some technical assistance here. And you share with me that you're not very technologically inclined either, so.
I'm sure not. I hate to say it.
Okay, we're going. We're gonna play this, and then if we get to an area where you want us to stop or anything. Or
right. My name is Malik Brahim.
You can fast forward.
I'm the co-founder of Common Ground Collective.
You tell us to stop.
And future candidate for the United States Congress.
I told you, Malik, for each brother. You met.
Can you do it? Okay, yeah. Tell us when to stop.
He could keep going.
Keep going.
Keep going. Right about
right there,
here.
Right there, right there. Go ahead.
I know, sir. Didn't even provide food. That's the reason why people start looting.
Turn the lights down, please.
Then, now, all the while this was going on, it was no police. No police, no army, no National Guard, nobody. Then they put in a shoot-to-kill curfew, a dusk-to-dawn, shoot-to-kill. But there's nobody left.
As you can see, it's not flooded in Algiers.
On the West Bank, right?
Yeah.
What is that?
That's one of the bodies that the vigilantes had.
Look how close it is to the street.
Dropped off over there.
I mean, it's right on the street, and they still won't move. That's all they did is came and put an X on the tin we picked up and put over the man's body.
That body laid out there for 2.5 weeks.
Who is that?
That's not rescuers. They came to crush a rebellion. Every night they would give a celebration on how many blacks they done killed.
I never thought 11 and a half months ago I'd be walking down the streets of New Orleans with 2.38s in my pocket and a shotgun over my shoulder. It was great. It was like pheasant season in South Dakota. If it moved, you shot it.
That's not a pheasant. We're not in South Dakota. What's wrong with this picture?
Seemed like it at the time.
If you want to call it vigilantes, yeah. Well, we just looked out for everybody.
Yeah, we did.
You had to do what you had to do. No, you had to shoot somebody, you had to shoot somebody.
No, we had
that simple.
We had looters.
We shot them.
They were looters.
I gotta go. Don't go into a white woman's home and tell her you're gonna take it over.
No.
No.
No, you don't do that.
We don't allow that around these parts.
No,
what happens in other parts of this state, I don't know about. But
we don't
here,
care about.
This
but
is
in this
our
neighborhood, we take care of our own.
You know what? Algiers Point is not a pussy community.
You're already doing it.
Bunch of stuff.
Yeah, right down the street, you loot, we shoot.
That's the brother there who first told me about it.
And they said,
okay, that's
and, you could hear, I want you to hear the rest of it, but he's the one who came and told me that they was trying to kill him.
He want us to go now?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Where you at? Turn around. I said, hold on. I live right here in the next block. Turn around. what about them lies, man? What about them people, man? What about them people, man? What about this, man? What about... Excuse me, bro. Fuck.
That's what those vigilantes, and there have been no cases of blacks trying to rape any white woman in a house in Algiers. But that's the excuse they use to come in. Now you can fast forward.
Well, while he's fast forward and ask me this, did any of those white men who were in the vigilantes shooting blacks ever get prosecuted?
No.
We desperately need people to come down to help us.
Right here. You want us to go fast forward?
Yeah.
Okay, fast forward.
Not only have none of them been prosecuted, but this guy is still the one who's talking about
it.
You can keep going.
Keep going.
He's still working right there in Algiers. But again, like I said, he was told he had a God-given right to protect his community.
So you're saying the guy who was talking and bragging about shooting is still working in Algiers?
Oh, yeah. You could keep going fast forward. Let's slow it down. Go back. Go back. You could stop right there.
Across the sky, around the world. There you go. Right there. And guess what? Someone gave me, give me my hug. Give me my hug. You know, that's what I always need. Okay. Oops. So, this one, I've run out of already bullets. I've only got one left. So, and then this is the other one. This one, I have lots of bullets. I have 42 bullets still left. So basically, that was what I had them. In the nighttime, they were right here and right here. And the boys, the dogs were there, and I spent the whole night listening to the news radio. And that's for the 3 days.
Now you could kind of stop for a second on there. Now, this was a lady that lived in Algiers that would help black women. But any time a black man was around, she shot at him. And even though I was the head of Common Ground, I couldn't even go by her house because she would have literally shot me. But she was get supplies, pass out supplies to in the community. But the supplies had to be given to her by whites, you know, and then she would pass them out. You could fast forward it some more. Well, I just want to show you one of the young men I was telling you about. You could stop it, and because he's coming in the door now.
Time change, man.
That's the guy
still
who
saved
my life.
Right?
I sure hope so.
How you doing?
Oh, man, we're doing all right.
Right.
You see what we're trying to do.
I see that. So we got trucks to unload.
Now you can fast forward. Hey, wait a minute, go back. Go back.
Few 45s.
Go back. Go ahead on, keep going back. Right there.
And to start some satellite clinics.
Exactly.
We will not argue with the military or the police about nothing, all right? Because we're in a no-win situation with them, you know, because there's a new prison that they open up. And if once you get in there, it's hard as hell to get out. You know, it isn't no more that they have to take you to court in 72 hours. So we're gonna try not to deal with them.
.12 gauge shotgun. Yep.
And then we heard on the media that thugs and criminals were using this as an opportunity. We knew that we were in trouble. So we had to find ammunition and weaponry to protect ourselves and our neighborhood.
357 Magnum GP.
That's a firearm.
Ruger.
A few 38s, shotgun shell.
And the second day, there was a gunfight in front of the house where looters pulled a gun on a group of residents, and the gunfight broke out in front of the home.
It is a, you know, very heavy caliber weapon. It can actually probably go right through this vest because it has Teflon-coated rounds in it. This one is an Ithaca pump shotgun.
They pulled a gun on a group
of men. That's the kind of shotgun most of the vigilantes had.
Our neighborhood protecting the streets, and two or three looters came up and pulled a gun on a group of men, and they opened fire and shot two of them.
A few 45s.
Very effective weapon, close quarter combat.
That was our sign down the street we had.
Also very accurate, and it definitely has a lot of stopping power.
Yeah, you can fast forward. You can keep going. Hey, stop right there. You can go back a little.
Go back a little bit. Right.
That's when the police came after they wanted to figure out what was going on at my house. If common ground would have been started by all African Americans, they would have killed us.
I mean, have an ID. Let me see that.
What kind of group are
you? It's a grassroots organization. People come from all over the country to give support to the community out here. I've been here since Wednesday since after Katrina.
They classified those whites that was down with us as nigger lovers.
Selling them, or if you're...
No, we have not. We're not into selling. It's all about helping people. We're giving everything away. We've not sold one thing, charged for any services or goods.
There's definitely no profit. It's a nonprofit organization. You can look at our website, commongroundrelief.org.
Okay.
I think there just must have been some confusion.
I don't know. That's what I'm trying to find. I'm trying to find out.
Yeah.
So we just started getting the service.
Well, we talked to somebody from ICE yesterday. ICE?
ICE don't run shit.
This is Malik Raheem.
That's his real name.
That's his real name.
It's real.
Yeah.
Now you could go fast forward. You could fast forward. Well, right there is when the Red Cross seized our supplies for our health clinic. You can keep going forward. That's during Hurricane Rita. And it was the fact that our volunteers went out and cleaned all the storm drains and Algiers. That's the reason why Algiers didn't flood.
And people can participate if they
That's
want to.
That's when they said they were going to burn my house down.
I just want people to, like, I have a lot of feelings about it myself.
I promise I really wouldn't say anything, but I can't let this go by without, you know, and I'm scared. I'm scared as hell. Because all the things I've read about in history and everything and has hit me right in the face. The revolution is now. And we dealing with that shit, you know? It's giving me hope again. It's giving me something to do. It's giving me direction in my life now, a purpose, you know? And it's so important for a human being to have purpose in life. And that's what y'all giving me. That's what Malik's giving me. That's what Sharon's giving me. That's what all of you are giving me, hope and purpose in life.
That what's happening here isn't just, it's not just theoretical bullshit. You know, it's not just talking big, but this is the real thing.
I don't know none of you. And I didn't mind going in the kitchen cooking for you. Hell nah. Because it wasn't a black person in the kitchen cooking for white folks. It was a spirit and a hope of revolution cooking for other fucking revolutionaries. You know, and I'll end it at that.
You were the heroes. You were the ones who made the sacrifices to come down here, even if it was for one day. I know people is tired. But just think, if you wouldn't have came, what would have happened? Who would have done what you were doing?
Y'all done brought hope back to this community. And people had lost hope. The health clinic saw and serviced over 100 people yesterday. Who would have served them if we wouldn't have been there? If you wouldn't have been there? And it's not because I've done it. It's because you did it. You know, I don't care. Well, listen, it isn't nothing that if I had $1 billion, I couldn't pay you for what you have done. Because you can't reward somebody for giving another person hope. Mm-hmm. And that's what y'all have done. And I mean, we have that now. We have hope. And that hope can spread, far beyond these little borders. You know, and with that, can't nothing stop us. The state can come and try to close the clinic. And you heard what I said, try to close it. But if they do try to close, we're going to go mobile on their ass. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then, I mean, that anywhere that they turn around, they're going to turn a corner and see us doing it. And one thing that don't lie is your action. Anybody can say anything, but your actions speak for itself. And I know what this collective action has shown, that we truly stand for peace and justice.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You guys want to take a vote again on who wants to stay and who wants to leave? Who all wants to stay? Raise their hand.
If you think you want to stay, raise your hand.
These are the unsung heroes of Katrina that nobody want to give the respect for. It. And that's young whites that came into a black community and saved it, that literally saved it. When we couldn't even walk out to get supplies, those the ones who went out and used their privilege as being white to go out and get supplies to bring back that we could feed our people. Fast forward. Again, that was during Katrina. Here, you could stop right there. Go back.
Just kind of like.
This is the reason, and this man predicted what was going to happen in this city.
The troops, these guys just got off planes from Iraq.
I'm not talking about get back to the.
And they got dumped here. There was a handful of us here in this neighborhood because
those
we
soldiers
had any military
were straight,
order.
They came straight from Iraq.
We made sure that
to New Orleans.
Our neighborhood was safe and secure. We stayed here till the end. And now it's just the beginning. We're gonna have more fun now.
He still walked through Algiers bragging about what he have done.
Again, the Red Cross has released a new number that you can call.
It hasn't really started yet. The real shit gonna hit when everybody from New Orleans come back. I told you that last night, you weren't paying attention, huh? You may not even be here. When all these people come back and see what they have to face with nothing to live with, and they already been suffering, so what? They come back to nothing. And as any human being, what you think how they gonna survive? And it means necessary. It's gonna be some shit in this city when this shit come back.
He literally said what was
going
on.
It's up to me now to survive, for me now. I'm with y'all now, enjoying y'all company, letting him film and all that. But at the same time, you have a life, he has a life, and so do I. Mine been kind of like fucked up right now. Right now, my life is really fucked up. Depending on how I handle it. How much more can I take of this shit before I just say, no, fuck it.
I just wanted to see what they thought about it. just right in that.
So what you call, think that I'm gonna pick up a phone and call a number and they're gonna help?
Right there. Go back just a little. Go back just a little. Now you can start. This was one of our so-called volunteers.
It's a cultural diamond. And uninhabitable. Completely and utterly uninhabitable. My city's fallen. We're under an umbrella of incompetence. This is a black-owned and operated town. This town is governed, operated, and secured by the silverbacks that it houses. These are the folks that are responsible for destroying this city and its culture and its heritage. These are the folks that I am unable to forgive. African slaves who have not ever embraced or adapted to our the European side. Send them back to their homes and where they can jump up and down the desert with rings in their wrists and just get in the and do the things that are natural to them. I don't know if they're going to really receive the white women that keeps them happy, because it really does. It seems to keep them happy. We like to keep them content so they don't fucking burn us down.
He needed to stop it now. And he was, this was a guy who came to us as a volunteer to basically tell the white volunteers that was there that they had no business being in a black community. That they, instead of being in New Orleans helping niggas, they should be out in Chalmette and in Plaquemine Parish working with whites. And he wasn't saying none of this around me or others, but they felt comfortable when he got around white volunteers and pulled them off on the side to tell them why they shouldn't be in New Orleans and why they shouldn't be working or helping us to recover.
Okay, Brother Malik, before we leave, during this period of time of Katrina or post-Katrina, did you ever see the National Guards, New Orleans policemen heavily armed inside of the city at the time?
Everybody, from the vigilantes who was able to walk the streets heavily armed. As I was telling you, my brother, when the army came in, mm-hmm. they didn't come in to do any rescues. The Coast Guard was already doing the rescues. When the army came in, they came in to crush a rebellion. They came in to put down, to bring back law and order, to protect property. They had no regards about doing any rescues. You can't rescue a person with an M16. You can't rescue a person in a Humvee with heavily armed. You can't rescue nobody with attack helicopters. They did not come to do any rescues. When the army came in, they came in to crush a rebellion. And one of the officers who came to my house and gave me a warning, he said that if any of his soldiers is shot at, they were about the repercussions. I knew because they was fresh from Iraq and I had been to Iraq. I knew what they was talking about doing. I knew where it happened to Fallujah. It was fresh in my mind. And I knew that that's what they was gonna do to Algiers. But I know that one of the things, and one of the persons that helped make sure that I'm here today is my brother right here, King Downing, who literally slept on my porch, to make sure that when the police came by, they see a lawyer from the ACLU. And I could say one thing, that even though the police didn't give a damn about the ACLU as far as the state of Louisiana is concerned, the ones representing Louisiana, they was horrified that it was a New York ACLU lawyer that was there. And I'm gonna tell you, if it wasn't for his action, that that really made him back up off of me, and because all the way up until that time, I was receiving something like about 20 to 30 death threats a day. You know, telling me that the clock is ticking on my 15 minutes of fame. But after that day that that King showed him, King Downing showed him that that he was an ACLU lawyer from out of New York, it dropped down to about 5 a day. But because I was gonna show this documentary at a school that we had been at for over a year and a half, last Friday, the priest of that school that we had been in a year and a half came and told us that we had to get out of that school and gave us a Wednesday, the date of the anniversary that he wanted us out of that school. After a year and a half, he locked us out. He put everybody out of the school. Didn't serve us with no eviction notice or anything. He just said, I want y'all out. And it was basically because we was gonna show, premiere that documentary that was done by a Danish journalist at St. Mary's. So all the events that we was planning from the 29th all the way up until the 9th, the anniversary of our health clinic, we had to cancel at the last minute because they refused to allow that documentary to be shown at a Catholic school here in New Orleans.
All right. Brother Malik, we're going to thank you for your testimony to the judges. I'm going to turn it over to the chief judge to see if the judges have any questions of you. Okay.
Sure, we do have some questions. Actually, I'm going to start off. Mr. Rahim, you were telling us earlier that you saw a brother who was face down, his face had been blown off, and you said there was a body at the health clinic. You didn't tell us, or maybe you could tell us, do you have any sense of who killed these people?
Vigilantes. The Algiers vigilantes. The same ones who shot that guy in Spike Lee video is those suckers that you saw on there. You know, I counted
19
bodies of young men that was killed by multiple gunshot wounds.
And did you have an opportunity to talk to anyone who witnessed any of these shootings?
I didn't have the opportunity, but the guy who did this documentary, by the fact that he was a European, they spoke freely with him.
Okay, and do you have any sense of what he was told about who did the shootings?
Yeah, because every day he would come in and tell me what they were saying.
And what did he tell you?
He just told me that every day at this club that is still open in Algiers, soon you get off the ferry in Algiers, about how every night they would give a barbecue and a party celebrating on how many people they killed.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And this was in the Algiers area, is that correct?
Yeah, because see, like, if you had to evacuate, even though the convention center is right next to the Canal Street side of the ferry, they made people walk across the bridge and then walk through Algiers to get to the Algiers side of the ferry. Instead of just using the ferry to taxi them across, they made them walk across. And so by the time they walked across, if you couldn't make it, you just perished because you had to go to the ferry to get anything. And if you went across there, if you had all your possessions that you could, if you had boxes of possession, if you couldn't put it on your lap, you had to leave it. If you had pets, especially dogs, and you brought them over, you either had to kill your dog or let them loose. So in Algiers, we had packs of dogs running around. And by the fact that these dogs wasn't used to being on their own because they was used to having somebody to take care of them. When they start starving, they start eating on these bodies. Mm-hmm. So we start seeing this. That's the reason why we start covering them up with tent. I asked the police to allow me to start burying these bodies, or either just get some lime to put on them to keep the stench of all these dead bodies, because it was almost 100 degrees. With the heat index every day, it was like 105, 110. And these bodies was literally just bursting. And I asked him, I said, man, listen, give us some lime or let us bury, or give us some body bags. They wouldn't do nothing.
I have another question for you, sir. You said earlier that the people who were not familiar with Algiers Park were walking through, so they didn't know where it was safe. Would you explain a little bit more what you meant by that?
Most of the people that was coming was from the Night Ward.
And what was their race?
It was African American.
Okay.
And they, most of them didn't know anything about Algiers. And most of them was, even if they did, they wasn't in a rational state of mind, because they had been trapped in the attics of their houses. Mm-hmm. You know, and by the time they walked from
Take your time, sir. Take your time. Give some water.
By the time a person walked from the Weasel down I-10, then across that bridge into Algiers, most people didn't know what to do.
And about how
they
many
was
miles?
Ran from Gretna.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Do you have any guessing about how many miles that would have been?
That would be close to about 15 to 20.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead.
And again, we're talking about in that sun. Mm-hmm. And with a lot of times, you're talking about people with their children that just lost a lot of their friends and their relatives, because more people was killed in the Night Ward than anywhere else. And by the time they walked around there and got there, no one was there to help them. You know, we would sit by Pal's place, the home of the West Bank Steppers, and try to direct people on what way to go. And the saddest part about it, these people had everything. I'm talking about these vigilantes. They didn't want for nothing. They didn't offer any assistance. That's all they offered was bullets. And these young people that I see in doing a lot of these rescues, those are the ones when they allowed the buses on the East Bank just to literally be flooded. They took the buses that was left on the West Bank and used them to get the community out. Because you had all these horror stories. Our mayor was on TV saying that was 30, 40,000 people that was dead, about the looting and all this. And people had panicked. Algiers went from a community of 70,000 down to 3,000. You know, so I mean, and what you're seeing is after that Saturday, Algiers was void of African-American men between the ages of, 16 to about 40. They was literally gone. That's all it was left in Algiers was kids and gray-haired men like myself.
Gracias, señor Malik, por su coraje durante la tragedia.
Thank you, Malik, for your courage during this tragedy.
Hemos visto otras tragedias que han ocurrido a final del siglo pasado.
We have seen other tragedies in the last century
que han afectado fuertemente a comunidades afrodescendientes.
That have affected communities of African descent.
El caso del huracán Mitch en 1998 en Honduras.
Of the case of Hurricane Mitch in Honduras.
El caso de Venezuela en 1999.
In 1999 in Venezuela.
Y ahora el de Katrina
And now Katrina.
En los casos anteriores.
In the times before.
No vimos actuar grupos paramilitares.
We did not see paramilitary groups.
No, tú sigue.
Y usted nos ha dicho.
And you have told us.
Y hemos demostrado aquí en el video.
And you have showed us in this video.
Que actuaron grupos paramilitares.
¿Puedes repetir?
Que actuaron grupos paramilitares.
That paramilitary groups acted.
En su mayoría blanco.
And the primarily black, whites.
Y con un objetivo muy concreto.
And with a concrete objective.
De limpieza étnica.
With ethnic cleansing.
Mi pregunta es.
My question is.
¿Quién contrató esos grupos paramilitares? ¿Quién financió esos grupos paramilitares?
Who contracted those paramilitary groups? Who financed those paramilitary groups or vigilante groups?
¿Y si estos grupos paramilitares también tienen una relación directa con los grupos paramilitares que envió Estados Unidos a Irak?
And if these paramilitary groups have any relations to the paramilitary groups that the U.S. government shipped to Iraq?
What I can say is to see a Blackwater Security took over that water treatment plant in Algiers. So we had Blackwater Security that was all over Algiers. I cannot say definitely that our state finance those vigilantes or those paramilitary forces that was able to operate. I cannot. But I can say this. They didn't do anything to stop them. They knew that they was that the only person that was could openly walk down the street of New Orleans with a gun was white. You know, that if a black got caught with anything that resembled a gun, he was literally killed. Or he was savagely beaten and arrested, even if you just had a knife. The only, and maybe I shouldn't say, but I'm going to say it anyway. My partner, the lady of my life who stuck by me through this, and we had just got together. We hadn't been together 2 weeks before this hurricane. She would literally carry the weapon for me because they wasn't search a woman the way they would search men.
Yeah, you probably shouldn't say that.
I wanted to be known because that's what happened here.
Wait, where's your lawyer? Get up here, brother. Yeah, this is the lawyer right here. Okay.
That's the dawn, shoot to kill curfew. Mm-hmm. It didn't apply to whites. Mm-hmm. That's how we was able to get white volunteers to go out to get us supplies. Because they had to go to Covington to pick up the supplies, load it up on those Penske trucks and bring they was able to come through because they was white. We was able to, our health clinic, we had black doctors that had tried to come to New Orleans from Atlanta. And they was denied entrance into New Orleans with medical supplies. That's why I say that it wasn't racism. For those 4 days, it was complete fascism. Because when you deny people health care at a time of a disaster, when you allow them safety in your neighborhood because Algiers wasn't flooded, which was part of New Orleans, but then Gretna, which is a part of Jefferson Parish, the home of David Duke, it wasn't flooded. Harvey wasn't flooded. Marrero Road wasn't flooded. Westwego, Bridge City, Wagman, Avondale, none of these areas was flooded. Nobody had to leave southern Louisiana. The reason why they done it, because they used this as an opportune moment to get rid of a segment of the African-American population that they no longer tolerated. That they figured that if they could get rid of that many of us, that they could take this city back. And that was their objective, on how they could get rid of us and make sure that it was a that the next election that a white mayor would be over this city.
Yeah, brother, let me just ask just a couple of clarifying questions. You said Gretna was the home of David Duke. Who's David Duke?
David Duke was the Grand Wizard of the Ku Klux Klan. Now he stopped wearing the robe and he wear a Brooks Brothers suit. But now he's all over Europe spreading that race hatred. You know, and that's what they thought, because the reason why they was able to talk to Rasmus, who did that documentary, is because they classified him as a purebred.
Yeah, and to just make another thing clear, these murders came after the governor issued an order to shoot to kill. Is that correct?
Yeah, listen, by the end of that Wednesday,
mm-hmm.
if you wanted to kill a black, that's all you had to do is just kill him.
Right.
You know, if I had a grievance against you, mm-hmm. that's all I had to do is kill you. Mm-hmm. And if I kill you, that's all, and the police pass, that's all I say, he was a looter.
Yeah.
And it wasn't no questions, it wasn't no, it wasn't even a form that you had to fill out. That's all they done is, yeah, well, he's dead, and they just marked the location. It reminded me of that song that Billie Holiday used to sing, Strange Fruit.
Fruit, yeah, right.
You know, how they would just
kill them.
Leave these bodies there.
Right.
And the saddest part is when you see children. Look at these dead bodies, and nobody was doing nothing. And some of these young men who did the rescues, that's now been charged with being looters. And if nothing has happened, gonna get up to 14 years in prison for trying to save their community. Some of them now is unemployed in a construction, a city with a construction boom, and can't even find a fucking job.
Tell him.
Brother,
excuse me from cursing.
Brother, I want you to give greetings to Robert, who came to Paris. We invited him. I want to thank you for bringing history into this bloody tale. I want to thank you for bringing Emmett Till and the coincidence of the 50th anniversary and the spirituality of commemoration into this bloody tale. I want to ask you if we could have as an exhibit the video that you have shown us.
I have, and I've been giving these videos out. I'm not asking for anything. I want this story to be told. I want people to know what really happened here. I want people to know that how they demonized us here. How individuals could sit around and talk about now what we are doing and what we ain't doing, and they could find all the criticism about common ground, but they can't criticize this damn government for what they have done. I want people to know the truth about what happened here. And I'm not asking for no, and I'm gonna tell you, today we have served over 180,000 people, and we haven't received nothing from the federal government, or the state, or this local government. We haven't even been allowed to, this is the first time since the anniversary I have even had an opportunity to speak at any event. You know, because they didn't want this to be told. And for that, I have about 200 videos in my van that I'll bring back over here, and anybody could have a copy of it.
Chief Justice.
Yes.